Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members of the committee, and I saw the chairperson of the NHC and the colleagues that are here. Good morning. My name is Vusithi Kadima, DDG Heritage.
Good morning, DDG. Thank you.
Good morning, DDG. Honorable members, I would love to greet you, but can the administrators, secretaries, put the agenda on the screen? Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, the colleagues from the department. I'm not sure whether the minister and deputy minister are with us. Usually on Tuesday, they do have cabinet committees.
Yes, sir.
We'll get you. Oh, okay. I was saying that we'll get, when we get into the apologies. Thank you, Minister. Honorable members, Minister, Deputy Minister, DDG, acting DG, with this, all your staff, the staff of the Parliament. I'm opening and welcoming you with with short passing of our own famous run of the boxing promoter, Mr. Mzimase Mnguni, whom we called Bramsey. He played a very fatherly figure to many of the boxers. He managed, and we can't manage to lose this person, but he has been sick for a long, time, and begging on the wheelchair. So, but as a committee, we are saying, may his soul rest in peace, and condolences to the South Africans and to the family. I'm suspecting that, let me take this opportunity. But also, I must not forget that COVID-19 is still with us. And I must emphasize that, honorable members, those who feel that they cannot go and take the vaccine, they must know. But we do emphasize that all members of the family, you must strive to take them to go and take the vaccine, but you are not forced. As we've been growing, if you can look at our arms, we have some stars where we were just voluntarily, if we're told, by sometimes not even by government, will be called in the local chief saying that today is the day that you take all the kids to Bayogonyo. So we are pleading that once a vaccine is on its way, let's prepare, let's be a custodian of that, telling the communities, telling everybody, going to our churches. But you must make sure that you don't force anyone. Everybody has got a right, but meantime, put your mask, wash your hands, look at the distance, look at the number when you are going for the funerals. I don't want to say much about Vuligate. You know the results of Vuligate, but if you are drinking responsible, you will be assisting the whole country. By those words, I'm welcoming you, honorable members. May we have a moment of silence for our legend of boxing, just a few minutes. May his soul rest in peace. Can honorable members adopt the gender in front of us? I'm proposing.
I'll move for adoption.
Come again.
Chairperson?
Yes.
I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you. Any seconder?
Chairperson, I'll second. Veronica van Dijk.
Thank you, honorable member. Honorable members, we must note. Yes.
Chairperson Dennis Joseph, may I say something?
Yes,
thank you. I received, I'm seeing the agenda before me. I have informed the support staff that I did not get my presentation, which I did receive eventually, but I did not, I can't find any minutes, email for minutes. So I would just appreciate if any of the support staff can just forward the minutes to me and I can go through it while other business. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. I'm suspecting other minutes are older than yourself, my honorable member, but it doesn't mean that you must not get those minutes. It's very important that you must get minutes, but if you don't get at all, they must correct that. And I'm suspecting we have so a couple of minutes. We must strive today that we must finish minutes. Last meeting we have said we'll start with the minutes, but when we look at the couple of minutes, we decided not today. Let's start with the briefing. Our apology for that, honorable members. Thank you so much. Honorable Minister, with your team, tell us what to do. We're in point number 3, briefing by the National Heritage Council of South Africa, which I do welcome them in the meeting. They must brief us about their 2019-2020 annual report. I thank you, Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Chair. I saw a yellow hand somewhere, but thank you very much. Chairperson, the entity
just a moment.
Report.
I didn't see this yellow hand. I'm sorry, Minister. It's Honorable Mhlongo. I've seen it now. Honorable Mhlongo.
The person, I've just lowered my hands. Fine, let the minister. I'll comment via my question time. It's fine.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you. Please go on, honorable minister.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. Just to say that the overall task of the NHC in our country is to ensure that it positions itself as the key role player and leading institution for both intangible and tangible heritage and support the programs thereof. Ensure that our country's heritage is understood and accepted in the country, on the continent, and globally. I want to bring to our attention that the resistance and liberation heritage route, which is now a subject of AU as an important aspect of the lives of the people of the continent, particularly this region, SADC region, as one of the flagship program of the AU. And I think we should actually recognize that, especially because our history has been distorted over a period of time. Our erstwhile colonizers wanted to write their own history, our history through their own prism. And this is time where we are correcting that. And the NHC is very key on that. We have just, through NHC, submitted the nomination dossier of our own liberation heritage. The resistance and liberation movement and heritage is so important, Chair, that we should at all times ensure that we place it so that the people understand exactly who we are. But like other entities of the department, it has played a key role in projects of social cohesion and nation building. And I think that we see through what it has been able to achieve over a period of time. I do want to say that our entities are run by the councils and boards, and on this one there's no exception. But it's important to raise up front with you, Chair, that something happened last year within this very body where the whistleblowers blew the whistles about what was not going okay, allegations in the within National Heritage Council itself. And because of that, because of the fact that the whistleblowers are protected by our law and others, then as Dr. Mzalia is telling us, I then asked the council to deal with the matter.
What is this?
Can you call Dr. Mzalia to...
Can you mute? Who's this doctor? Thank you.
So because of this whistleblowing, them to investigate, but the board decided not to investigate, which left the minister with no choice but to disband the board. And we are having a new board today, which is going to be making the presentation. Department officials are here for support. For us, I think that what is important is that when there are things raised, genuinely so, from the public, we should be able to investigate them and get to the bottom. But I'll then give it to you, Chair, and the Heritage Council to make a presentation. But thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Let me give to the leader of themselves to brief us.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair, and Honorable Members, Minister. Thank you so much for that introduction. This is Ed Ganirvarani. I'm the new Chair of the NHC. As you've heard from the Minister, we are in a kind of a transitional stage at the moment. And therefore, the administrators are in the process of handing over the work that they've been doing to the new council. We are still in the teething, stage of getting involved in the matters. So for that reason, I will hand over to our acting CEO, who is the administrator, and to lead us in the presentation.
Thank you. do so. Hello. Okay. Can you hear me, Chair? No.
Somebody's playing music in the background.
Thank you, Chair. The the mandate of the National Heritage Council, as contained in the Act, is to develop, promote, and protect national heritage for present and future generations, to coordinate heritage management, to protect, preserve, and promote the content and heritage. Can you come and help him to remove? Need to remove the question. Okay, thanks. My apology for that. To coordinate heritage management, to protect, preserve, and promote the content and heritage that resides in Oracha in order to make it accessible and dynamic. To also integrate living heritage with functions and activities of the council and all other heritage authorities and institutions at national, provincial, and local levels. To promote and protect indigenous knowledge systems, including but not limited to enterprise and industry, social upliftment, institutional framework, and liberatory processes. To intensify support for the promotion of the history and culture of all our peoples, and particularly to support research and publications on enslavement in South Africa. Our vision is a nation proud of its African heritage. And the mission is through development, promotion, and preservation of heritage for sustainable development and transformation. We will know that we are achieving this when South Africans experience the following: when they are knowledgeable about heritage, when they have access to their heritage, when they benefit from heritage, when they utilize heritage in their lives, and when they behave in a way that demonstrates their pride in heritage. And the values that underpin the institution are within Ubuntu philosophy, and the following values will guide the programs, actions, and behaviors of council members and employees of NHC and all those who are acting in its name, which are Batupili, integrity, professionalism, equity, and creativity. This annual report, Chairperson, is presented during a transitional phase in the NHC following the governance challenges which led to the dissolution of council and the resignation of the former CEO. The minister appointed the administrator, acting CEO, together with two assistant administrators,
with effect from the 27th August 2020. So the team engaged robustly with management of National Heritage Council in order to understand the governance challenges facing the entity. The audit process that had commenced in June 2020 was seriously lagging behind, and this required the team to intervene in ensuring that the audit gets finalized. The challenges in the organization were further highlighted in the outcomes of the audit report, which is a qualified audit opinion for the financial year 2019-2020. And this is the first time since the inception of National Heritage Council that it has received a qualified audit opinion. During the year under review, the NHC supported work done by heritage practitioners and other stakeholders on the following: commemorative events, knowledge production, cultural expressions, the flagship Heritage Education Schools Outreach Program, Golden Shield Heritage Awards. And I wish to express my appreciation to the former CEO who served the NHC as the CEO for 15 years. Furthermore, I wish to extend a word of gratitude to the previous council members for the time that they served the NHC. And I would also like to pay respect to Advocate Mobeli, the Free State representative in council who passed away on the 2nd November 2019, the former chairperson, Dr. Tulani Mbuli, who passed away on the 11th July 2020, and the former chairperson and panel member, Professor Balintulo, who passed away on the 20th December 2020. So with regards to overview of the NHC performance in 2019-20, the highlights are as follows. We supported the 2019 National Freedom Day celebrations in collaboration with the department through a memorial lecture on the 200th anniversary of the Battle of Egazini in Makana. We also collaborated with the South African Interfaith Council to host an interfaith dialogue on social cohesion and nation building. We participated in the Department of Women and Children's public hearings on gender-based violence. On the Liberation Heritage, we also partnered with the NYDA and SARA on the commemoration of the 40th anniversary of the hanging of Solomon Kalushi Matlangu and the beginning of public consultations for the declaration of the home as a national heritage. The NHC also supported the inauguration of the CREDOC for Garden of Remembrance in CREDOC, where the National Department of Tourism handed over infrastructure, underscoring the nexus between heritage and tourism in order for the CREDOC community to leverage economic development on their liberation heritage. In pursuit of the policy advice mandate of the NHC, two policy position papers were produced and workshopped in the financial year under review. And these are on liberation icons, the topic being toward a policy framework which looks at the role of the state and the families in the burial and memorialization of icons, and in the private versus public management of heritage, which looks at the common practices and different applications by the two subsectors. On knowledge production, two general articles on the state of archives in general and another one on liberation struggle archives were produced by the panel of experts appointed to augment the internal capacity of NHC on research and development. On international cooperation, the NHC was admitted as a member of the Global Public Diplomacy Network in January 2020 at their 6th General Assembly held in Qatar. The GDPNet was founded in 2014 in Seoul as a platform that contributes to international community through cultural and civil society initiatives by sharing knowledge and encouraging cooperation. The GDPNet is comprised of non-profit national level institutions promoting cultural and public diplomacy. Other international engagements included working visits to Vietnam and Syria to explore bilateral cooperation in heritage conservation. The department invited NHC to participate in the reference group on resistance and liberation heritage museum, and as part of this work, joined the multidisciplinary team led by the department to do benchmarking in countries like Senegal, Russia, Germany, Brazil, Argentina on memorialization. Okay, I'll pass that photo and move to the next slide. The strategic outcome oriented goals. The outcome, the oriented goal number one is an internationally recognized heritage organization on the African continent. That's what we want to be. Mainstreaming of resistance and liberation heritage. Increased knowledge and awareness about South Africa's heritage by South Africa's citizens. Leading institution on intangible heritage in South Africa. Social cohesion and nation building, an effective, efficient and sustainable institution. And with regards to program one, our aim in this program is to provide strategic leadership and enable NHC performance through the delivery of support services. The program is made up of the following sub-programs: Office of the CEO, Communications and Stakeholder Management, Council Secretariat, and Corporate Services. And the strategic objectives are to provide strategic management services, provide legal services to NHC, promote the NHC and its programs, development of highly capable organizational personnel, finance and procurement support provided, provide also IT support. 11 charges had been planned for program one in 2019-20, and all 11 targets were achieved. With regards to program two, heritage promotion, the purpose of the program is to meet NHC customer expectations through the delivery of NHC products and services. And this program consists of the following sub-programs: heritage management, funding, resistance and liberation, heritage route. And its strategic objectives are to intensify the promotion of living heritage through collaborations and stakeholder engagements nationally and internationally. To also develop a national planning, policy development and research capability that will create an enabling environment for the advancement and promotion of national heritage content. To also build a network of strategic partnerships to strengthen and integrate heritage development by extending the influence of NHC and leveraging the resources through partnerships. To also coordinate the management of the liberation heritage route, the African Liberation Heritage Program, and national input in the World Heritage Agenda by promoting the influence of the South African heritage globally. And a total of 15 targets had been planned for program two in that financial year, and 15 targets were all achieved. And with regards to governance, the NHC is committed to the principles of accountability, openness, integrity, as prescribed by legislation and good practices like KIM 1-4 reports on corporate governance. NHC policies and charters complement this commitment, and the Minister of Sport, Arts and Culture and the NHC chairperson signed a shareholders' compact in December 2019. So during the year under review, the following reports were submitted: the first quarterly report, second quarterly report, third quarterly report, and the fourth quarterly report. So the NHC Council is constituted in terms of Section 5.1, Subsection 1 of the National Heritage Act of 1999, and its members are appointed as follows. Five are appointed by the minister, and nine are provincial reps, which are nominated by MECs, but they are appointed by the minister. The chairpersons of SARA, Ditsong and Iziko Museums, and chairpersons of Archives Commission Heraldry and National Library of South Africa. NHC has council committees, and in the year under review, council had constituted the following committees to assist it in executing its mandate: the Audit and Risk Committee, Heritage Programs Project and Research Committee, Corporate Services and Finance Committee, Social and Ethics Committee, Repositioning and International Relations Committee. So the meetings of council during the year that ended on the 31st of March 2020, council had 6 ordinary meetings and 2 strategy review workshops that were convened. With regard to council secretary, the council secretary previously referred to as the company secretariat function is in-house reporting functionally to council and administratively to the CEO. The company secretariat function was split into council secretary and legal officer. And in the year, the period under review, the council secretary resigned in June 2019, and Mr. Tembile Yaku was appointed as the acting council secretary while a new council secretary was being appointed. 2 service providers were appointed in the period under review to assist in taking minutes in council and committee meetings. So the appointment of council secretariat was commenced by council towards the end of its term before dissolution by the minister. It is expected that this will be finalized in the year 2021 financial year. On risk management and internal controls, risk is managed through a risk management strategy approved by council and overseen by Audit and Risk Committee, Risk Management Committee and MEXCO. With internal audit that was outsourced, and the AG noted a regression on internal controls, hence the qualified audit outcome. Management is to attend to the identified weaknesses and report to the Audit and Risk Committee and Council. On compliance with laws and regulations, NHC complies with legislation and regulatory imperatives applicable to it, including but not limited to the NHC Act, PFMA, Treasury Regulations, Practice Notes, King 1 to 4 Reports, Labor Laws, Health and Safety Laws, Procurement Prescripts, BBBEE, and other laws. With regards to minimizing conflict of interest, all council members and employees of NHC sign Declaration of Interest forms annually in accordance with the National Heritage Council Act of 1999. And on health, safety, and environmental issues, NHC has a designated member of staff who is responsible for facilities management to ensure that health, safety, and environmental issues are addressed. On fraud and corruption, to mitigate the risk of fraud and corruption, the following instruments are in place. Fraud prevention plan that is aimed at mitigating the risk of fraud and corruption in councils. The anti-fraud and corruption policy, code of ethics and business conduct, and risk and fraud implementation plans. We also use the department's hotline where no cases were reported in 2019-2020 financial year. We also have the code of conduct, and council has approved the code of conduct and ethics policy, which is in place. However, these policies need to be reviewed. On audit and finance, The NHC has received a qualified audit opinion from the Auditor General for 2019-20. And the basis for qualification is on valuation of plant, property and equipment, misstatements of the annual performance information, internal control deficiencies, inadequacy of contract management and consequence management, the unsatisfactory compliance with legislation in relation to financial management was also raised as a matter of emphasis by the Auditor General. The details of irregular expenditure are as follows. The expenditure that was incurred on expired contract to the value of 86,000. Expenditure incurred without following a procurement process to the value of 2.033 million rands, non-compliance with PFMA and preference procurement regulations to the value of 1.698 million, and non-compliance with the PFMA and preference procurement regulation. So management is still awaiting National Treasury's confirmation, which could not be obtained when the audit was concluded. The accounting authority was also dissolved during audit, including the Audit and Risk Committee. Remember that the Audit and Risk Committee is a committee that was appointed by the dissolved council, so it was automatically, it got dissolved. Thus, the absence of ARC was conspicuous. The audit outcome was also not considered and accepted by the ARC due to its dissolution. And the valuator's report on the reassessment of useful lives of property, plant and equipment could not be concluded due to COVID-19 lockdown regulations. And judgments made by management on reassessment of useful lives of PPE as previously assessed and accepted was not accepted by the AG for the 2019-20, which is a plant, property and equipment. The general financial overview of NHC, it goes that the NHC is fully funded by the department. And the interim accounting authority, which is the administration team, evaluated the appropriateness of the going concern assumptions used in the preparation of the annual financial statements. And after their appointment, the team had to oversee and ensure that the audit gets concluded. There have been significant improvements in lowering NHC's accumulated deficit over the years. And the statement of financial performance for the year that ended 31st March 2020 is as follows. On non-exchange revenue from 70 million rands in 2019 to 72.25 in 2020. Exchange revenue from 328,000 rands to 352. And the total revenue for 2019-2020 was 72,000,597 from the previous financial year of 70,000,429. The total expenses for 70,000,168 and for 2019 it was 74.228 million rands. So the deficit for the year 2019-2020 is 2.49 million rands and the previous financial year it was 3.799 million rands. With regards to assets, on the non-current assets for the financial year under review, it's 4.369 million rands. From the previous financial year, which was 2.946. For the current assets, there's an increase from 30,000,124 in 2018-2019 to 49.1 115 million rand in 2019-2020. For the total assets value, as at the end of 2019-2020 financial year, stands at 53.489 million rand. And with regard to liabilities, for non-current liabilities, they increased from 146,000 rand to 720,000 rand. Current liabilities from 32,000,368 to 49.779 million rand. So the total liabilities as at the end of the financial year 2019-20 stand as 50.499 million rand, an increase from 32.514 the previous financial year. So the net assets at the end of 19 financial year 1920 are at 2.985 million rand from 556,000 rand. Then on as I conclude, I would also like to appreciate the appointment of the new council in December 2020 as led by Mr. Edgar Neluvalani as the chairperson. The administration team will work with the council to take forward and conclude the investigation regarding the allegations that were raised about the NHC, as already indicated by Minister. I'm confident that the administration team and the council will direct the stabilization of NHC through the implementation of good governance and sound administration. The council will also undertake the process to appoint a new CEO, and the administration team will also round up its mandate and hand over its report to the minister and council. I thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Let me take this opportunity to check whether we have anyone who wanted to add on your presentation. I'm suspecting it's just one presentation. If it's not, honorable members, this is the presentation from NHC. You can ask questions, discuss, suggest. The platform is yours, honorable members.
Chairperson Dennis Joseph.
Yes, honorable Jen.
May I proceed, Chairperson, or do I have to wait all the
night? Yes. No. I've said yes, Honorable Dennis, you may proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I'd like to thank the Minister for the introduction and then the departments for the presentation. I would like to ask the Minister a question. I am interested in the Liberation Heritage Route. Very important, so I would like not to ask the minister a question on that. I'm sure we will hear more about that. What I would like to ask the minister, now that I have the opportunity, the departments, the two departments, they are busy with integration, and they will come and brief us next month on the integration being one department that will, from the 1st of April, operate. My question to the minister is, when will we hear about the new accounting officer? I think for me that is critical. There's a lot of other information that we will receive, but I would like to know if the minister is part of the process or is aware of when we will know at least who is the new accounting officer, because that is very important if a new department starts the 1st of April. And then to the department, I just wanted to ask, why was the under the council committee and the audit and risk committee, why was the internal audit outsourced? and the AG still found a regression. I found that as a bit of a worrying point, Chairperson. And then under governance, there was an approval, but also the next point it was said, policies need to be reviewed. Now, I thought under that code of conduct that some policies was addressed, but it seems to me there's still work to be done. I've heard that the ARC or Audit and Risk Committee was dissolved, and I didn't sort of hear why it was dissolved. And then I would like to know where's the process relating to the new CAO. And then I would also like to know how many board members returned. There's a new board, and how many of the previous board members returned. And sorry to hear about all the debts and the loss, but just would like to know that. And then I would like to know what was the actual mandate of the administrator and the time frame. So if we can just get confirmation, when will they close their business and their mandate? And then I will follow up later on asking reports to the department about their international experience, just not about the traveling and so on, but about that particular report that came back. Because I'm a new member, so I would like to afterwards, whether the officials just ask for that report. I thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Honorable Dennis, Honorable Veronica.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. And Melissa, I'm glad to see that you're also part of the team today. My first question is specifically also on the report, the visit to Vietnam and Syria, if we can have that report. And then also the department also invited, as was said, the NAC to participate in the reference group, if we can also have that report, the one that where benchmarking was done in several countries. I'm also concerned with the new council that took over in December. I'm just wondering how much time did the previous council spend to implement what they've learned on these benchmarking trips. But I also want from the department if they can give us a financial breakdown of the cost of this excursion, how many people went, at what cost, the transport, the flights, the accommodation, and how long did they go. I also, another question I want, I saw that the NHC raised 2.38% additional funds. If we can also be informed how much money was raised, how much was the cost for the personnel attached to the entity raising these activities. And I also want to know whether these, is the contact, does it mean only funds or is it also partnerships? I also want, with regards to consequence management, I want to know what prevented the NAC from following through with disciplinary action against officials who transgressed the PFMA, and if these officials in question, if they're still employed by the NAC, and also what the new council will do to ensure that consequence management will be taken place. With regards to the forensic investigation service, I want to know if this is it linked to the AG's note on the failure of on the part of the entities to discipline officials. And then I also want to ask when will we be updated on this investigation? The CEO that resigned, why did he resign? Was he also linked to this investigation? With regards to the new CEO, is the position, has it been advertised? And if not, when will it be done? Then I have a question on slide 21 on program 2, heritage promotion. You mentioned heritage management. Can you just explain to us what does that mean? Because I'm just curious. I also want to know if you're aware or if it is indeed the case that the Mandela House has been closed, and if you can explain why. And then also the Old Town House has been closed for 5 years. That's
try to summarize your questions, Honorable Member.
It's my final one. I just want to know whether the entity or if it's aware of this, and what steps does it take in light of its mandate. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Van Dijk. Honorable Madlingosi.
Good morning to the rest of the people, the minister and NHC, to you, Chairperson. Yes, thank you for the presentation. I would love to I'd love to know if Advocate Mangocho was the head of this department. And it was very much noticeable that his name was not mentioned, but his images were being branded. The members of the panel, I'd love to know that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mashingosi, Honorable Maloman.
Thank you, Chair. Let me take this opportunity and greet the colleagues, the minister, deputy minister, and everyone that is present in this meeting. So, Chair, the last question that was asked by Honorable Madlingosi, I just wanted to also ask it. The other thing is about the expenditure, that it was wrongly, let me speak about the expenditure that was done wrongly, the 2 million. I just want to find out what were the reasons and is there anything that they have done to those who have done the wrong. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malomani. I don't see any other hand. Do you want honorable members to give it to minister or to the presenters? I don't see any hand. Okay. Can anyone take the questions and respond? Minister, you direct your team who must answer.
Yes, Chair. The responses would be provided by the, the council, assisted by the department, the acting director. But let me say, Chair, that the first person, and thanks to Honorable Dennis, this is one department now. It is one department. The process started almost immediately. When the president announced that there shall be one department, and we did indicate in the 2018-2019 budget vote that it's the last vote of two departments. Now we are a department, one department. We had the two DGs, one who was for sport and recreation then, the other was for arts and culture. Now, the one of the DGs then moved to another department, and the DG then was endorsed by the executive. His name is Vusumuzi Mkize, who's the director general, currently not here on sick leave. We have the acting DG with us, deputy director general Ndima, here with us. Chair, I hope I'm listening, and the members are raising very valid points of accountability, and the department and the council will respond to that, as I said. I do, wish at some point would have an intellectual engagement on the mandate of NHC and what NHC is doing or not doing as a matter of its core mandate, as it were, so that even people at NAC would understand whether they are on the right side or whatever. So I'm looking forward, maybe not today, maybe whenever, to have that conversation with the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Acting DG, or
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I would focus on the questions that are related to the department. Maybe let me start by responding to the question on the international trip, because that was at the behest of the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. And the main reason behind that visit was as part of the feasibility study for the establishment of the Resistance and Liberation Movement Museum. So before we could finalize that report, we thought it prudent to look at other experiences, both in the continent and outside the continent. But maybe just to indicate that the uniqueness of this museum that is under conceptualization is, we're looking at the story that does not sanitize the gory details of trauma that people of South Africa went through, not just during apartheid, but from slavery and slave trade, period of colonization and colonialism, coming up with to apartheid, but also not just in a way of promoting victimhood, that those that were those that were oppressed were always behaving in a way that was showing victimhood, but heroism that came up from time to time. Now, it became very much important for us to go to those countries that also went through some kind of trauma in their history. Germany became one of the countries that we thought it prudent to go to because of the history of the Holocaust. Senegal became very much important, also the history of slavery and slave trade, the Gorée Island experience, Argentina, Brazil. Those were areas also that were kind of ravaged by totalitarian governments at a particular point in time. For instance, if you look at Argentina in the 80s, they went through a very difficult time where people were killed, when people were thrown into the rivers, all kinds of tortures that people went through. So we thought if we don't have an institution like that in South Africa, you go to the Apartheid Museum, it will tell the story, but you would see that it doesn't go deep into what this country has gone through. And that was an idea, and I'm glad, Chairperson, that we've got the report that we came back with. And we also, we're not only just looking at the stories, but we're looking at how those stories are being curated. For instance, how the design of an institution or the design of a museum would make you feel very much uncomfortable when you get there, because the idea is to really, really make you very uncomfortable, because the story itself was uncomfortable. So if you get there, you should get out of that experience having changed. It should touch your conscience. So that's what we went through as we went through this institution. So that's the experience that we do have the report. We can actually provide the cost of the excursion. We can also indicate who was part of the delegation, because it was not only the department, but other government departments that are part of the of the committee that deals with the resistance and liberation heritage groups. Then there is a question of the numbers of councils that came back. One was just computing here, it's about 9 people. And I would indicate how most of these people came back. And I think that the acting CEO, as she was going through the act, it showed that other members are members by virtue of being chairpersons of institutions like South African Heritage Resources Agency, IZIKO, DISONG, Heraldry, Archives, National Library of South Africa. So we've got already six that came back there. But there was one member who we kept or was recommended to the minister because of the past experiences with working with her in terms of audit, financial skills, but the level of integrity that she always demonstrated in the execution of her task. Other two are those that were coming from two provinces, one from Gauteng and one from Northwest. So I just think that maybe I would stop here with regards to matters that pertains to how far we can go as a department. I want to step out, Chairperson, and allow the LHC to then respond to other questions.
Thank you so much, Mr. Vusindima. And thanks, Chair. And I just want to just add, and I think he's covered some ground, just in terms of governance issues. As we said, we are in a period of transition, and administrators, since they came in, they took over the stabilization of the entity, and which they have done very well. And in the process also started to do some investigations on what was going on and what led to the resignations and the dissolution of council. And in the process also embarked on the process of getting the services of a forensic audit team, which has just been finalized. And they will soon be starting with the work, and we are quite keen to work with them and to get to the bottom of the issues that led to the dissolution of council and the complaints that we have received. And so everything is in motion. And also with regard to the appointment of the new CEO, we are embarking on the process now. As we said, we've only just started now, but we'll be embarking on that process, and we're making it our priority as a new council to make sure that the new CEO accounting officer comes into the picture, and so that we can take the entity forward. And we believe now with the introduction of this new council members and just waiting for, you know, for induction that needs to happen. I think the delays were just simply because of the COVID limitations and restrictions. But once that's done, and I think we'll move full steam ahead, and we're already engaging with the entity to see where support is needed, including company secretary and all of that. So we are quite keen. The handover process is in process, actually. And our administrators have already done a draft report that we're looking into, and the handover is in the process of being finalized. And so that council can take full responsibility for the governance of the entity. And on the finance issues, I'll hand over to CFO just to explain issues. I think questions raised on expenditure and other matters. Also on the audit, I must say on the audit issues, we are busy working on an audit plan and just to correct things. And in terms of corrective measures as well, you know, I think that the forensic audit and the report that we're getting from our administrators will help us to determine what corrective measures will need to take place. And we are quite keen on embarking on that and making sure that, you know, there's a cleanup of our act and in response to what has been happening. And I believe we are not far off from putting things right back in order. And I'll just hand over to CFO just to explain on the finance issues as well.
Thank you, CFO.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, Chairperson and honorable members, minister, and the delegation from the department. I'll just briefly touch on the irregular expenditure that was actually incurred for your 2019-2020 financial year.
For the 2 million that was reported, the 2 million is expenditure that was incurred for the office lease accommodation. It said that we did not follow due process, but it's one of the measures that we have since referred to National Treasury, and we are yet to receive response from the National Treasury, but we are actually pushing them to get that response. They get when the audit was concluded, we couldn't get feedback from National Treasury, who are the authors of this business. Then 1.6 million as well, what has happened is that when the bid was advertised, of course it has its own 100% or 100 points, but what happened is that we had to drop 10 points of the advertised bid. So even that one, that functionality criteria that was actually changed midway, the matter as well that we have referred to National Treasury, of which we still are waiting the feedback. But of course, as soon as we get the feedback, then it will be given to the acting CEO, and the CEO will just have to follow through in terms of the irregular expenditure framework, of course, of which it details what needs to be done if officials are at wrong. And of course, that will have consequence management as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Acting CEO. Do you want to add something?
Thanks very much, Chairperson. With regards to the reasons for the former CEO resigning, I thought that the department was responsible to that one because the relevance of the strategy of the department. And
what is going on? Raise your voice and now we don't hear you.
Just take you on back, brother.
Oh, my apologies, Chair. My apologies. Yeah, thanks very much. I did not unmute. Okay. I started by saying that with regard to the reasons why the former CEO resigned, I thought that the department would respond because the former CEO submitted the resignation letter to the DG. And with regard to one member asked why is the name of the former CEO mentioned. It has been mentioned. It's in the document because he led the institution for a very long time. So the name is there. And that's the reality. On the internal audit being outsourced and issues raised by the Auditor General, those issues that were raised by the internal audit as indicated by the Auditor General were not followed through, and some of them could not be picked up. But currently what has happened is we have insourced internal audit so that we can take it from there. How do we bring some changes in the institution? The one on the extensions, how much it was spent. Each institution that was part of the department's delegation had to pay their own costs. It was at their own cost, so it was not on the cost of NHC. And on policies, the council has started a process of reviewing policies. As already outlined by the AG that some policies were not reviewed. So the new council has already started that process. And other reports like for the visit to Syria, you know, those international visits, the reports can be submitted. They will be submitted to the committee so that the committee can know and understand what really transpired. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Yeah, thanks. Just on to finalize this, Chairperson, just on the question that Honorable Member asked on the Mandela House and the Old Town House, and I think those are matters that SARA, South African Heritage Resources Authority, is attending to. and I believe they're getting to the bottom of that. Our role is much more, you know, coordinating entities within the heritage sector and providing support on that. Thank you so much, Chair.
Okay. There's one question was asked. Honor. Yes. Okay.
Chair, on the resignation of the CEO, the CEO resigned after the whistleblowing talks, and of course there was call that there should be investigations. So he felt that the environment was no longer bearable in the institution, and therefore he decided to leave the institution. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. There was a question raised by Honorable Dennis asking why the internal audit outsourced. I didn't hear answering that.
Oh, I think on that question, what normally happens in terms of our policy is that three of the audit committee members, from outside, and whereas the rest come from council. I'm not sure if that was the question, but if it was in terms of internal audit, I think CFO can just respond to that in terms of the practice and why we had outsourced, I think, at some stage.
Just a moment. You must look at...
I think the main reason...
Okay.
Just a moment. You must look...
Okay, in the past, the institution...
Just a moment.
You must look on the entire question raised by Honorable Dennis. I don't want to repeat. Yeah. I've seen about three questions that you didn't answer asked by Honorable Dennis. I don't want us to be delayed. Look at his questions. Whoever is raising questions, I write down. I'm still in Honorable Dennis' question.
Chairperson, can I just clarify my question? May I proceed on that also? Yeah, the question, I've asked the question why it was outsourced, but I think the context is, was it outsourced in the government to another department, treasury, or in another department with a division in a department, or was it outsourced outside of government? Because if I hear that answer, then I would obviously know what was the cost versus the internal cost, and how long, what is their contracts, and all those kind of questions. So I wanted clarity on my understanding. Outsourced was it was outside of the government in the private sector. So if I have that clarity on that question, then I may ask another question, or I would understand that the answer is sufficient on that outsourcing. Just wanted that part of an outsourcing.
Did you get the question of the time frame?
Yes.
Okay. Go on.
Chairperson, the time frame was on... am I coming, Chairperson? The time frame was on the administrator appointed. The administrator. Yes. Are they completed with their work, or are they going on, and for how long their mandate finished? Thank you.
That's what I'm asking them to finish those questions. Thank you so much, colleagues.
Okay, let's go on the audit. Yeah. CFO will respond on the audit question. I'll come back on the administrator question.
Okay.
On the issue of the internal audit, what has happened is that in the past there was a cost-benefit analysis that was conducted to say that even the size of the entity then, it is not wired to actually have your internal audit function in-house. But what we have done was to review the structure, and in the new structure you do have that audit function, of which it was now a long-term plan. And in terms of the internal audit itself, yes, it was
given to private sector. The contract was for 3 years, of which it ended 31st December 2020.
That's it.
And it was for an amount of around about 1.2 million.
Who's that now?
Honorable Siabi.
Okay. Hello, Chair?
What's going on?
Can I just answer the other question on the administrator?
Just a moment. Before that, there's a... Let me go to Portugal. Yes, Honorable just a moment. Yes, Honorable Sia. Yes. Honorable Sia, the platform is yours.
I was going to hear the answers from the CFO, I guess.
We're struggling to hear you too.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I was saying we are struggling to hear the answers from the CFO because he's using two gadgets and they are causing an inconvenience. When he answers, he can use one so that we are able to hear him clearly. Otherwise, we are going to repeat the same questions which he has answered. That's my concern, Chair.
CFO? You do hear. I do see the hands of Honorable Madlingos and Honorable Mhlongo. CFO, please repeat your answer.
Okay, apologies about that, Chairperson. My response was around the internal audit function. What I was saying is to say that when the institution was actually established, given the size of it and given the budget of it, a cost-benefit analysis was conducted to say that it is not adequate for us at that particular point in time to actually have an insourced internal audit function. Then what we have done, but moving forward in terms of long-term plans, in terms of our reviewed structure, which was reviewed recently, we did include the internal audit function. So moving forward, it will be part of our insourcing. Then in terms of the contract, yes, it was awarded to the private sector. It was for a period of 3 years, and the amount was 1.2 over the 3 years. Their contract ended 31st December 2020. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes. Yes, Honorable Mhlongo. Honorable Mhlongo, are you having a problem of network?
And can we have a memorandum of understanding between the two, NYDA and the NHC? Chair, those are my questions for now, and then I'll have follow-up question on these things.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Mhlongo. Honorable Madlingozi.
Thank you, Chair. I didn't hear the questions. Honorable Mhlongo, he cut off and then he just said those are the questions. I didn't hear any of the questions. Anyway, let me again reiterate the fact that my question was, why is the name of the advocate Mangotwa not mentioned here as this presentation is done? And I think it is not fair, or the way it was answered by the lady, I forgot her name, that his name is written in this it is our duty to do the oversight here, and we should know exactly what is going on within this National Heritage Council. And for for her to just push my question as if it's an entity, it's not on. It is our duty, and we need to know what is happening, you know, with the case of this whistleblowing and everything. We shouldn't be put in a dark corner here and not knowing what is going on within this council. So I think my question were very much fair as to why was he, why did he resign? What was the problem? What is going on? Is the case still going on? And what is going on with the whole thing? Is the National Heritage Council working properly with the new people that are in now that has been replaced? And who are they? And what is going on with everything? So I think my question was just pushed aside as if it was nothing. Thank you.
I don't think your question is put aside, but you can raise that. You want more clarity because they've tried to answer you. They can't come here and push questions of members aside, but I can say that they must give you more clarity. Honorable Veronique.
Chairperson, I just want to make sure if they've answered all questions, because there's a few of my questions that was also not answered, and I also have a follow-up if that's in order when they're done.
You can do follow-up.
Okay, the first thing on the responses that we already received is that I found it strange that the DG said that the CEO left because of an unbearable environment. Were there no mediation efforts from the entity side, and what did the council do to remedy this? I was just curious about that. And then I also asked questions on the funds that were raised, the amount and the cost involved, and if it includes or does it mean funds only or also funds and partnerships. With regard to the consequent management, I also asked the question on whether the officials in question, if they're still employed with the NHC, and what is the consequences for this who transgressed the PFMA? Because the AG pertinently said when he reported to us that one of the main problems in our entities is the fact that there's no consequence management. So I just want to get clarity on that. And I also ask if there's an indication when the forensic report will be made available to the committee. And I also the question that I did ask is with regards to the heritage management. I'm not quite sure. The it seems to me that the NHC and SARA the functions are overlapping. Are the entity telling us that, or is the entity telling us that they actually overseeing the work of SARA? That's just what I want to get clarity on. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I'm pleading to people who are supposed to answer that they must write down the questions. You know what, Honorable Van Wyk, I was about to go back to you to indicate the questions raised by Honorable Van Wyk that you didn't respond. We're taking our own time. We still have other business to do. Let's listen attentively and write down the questions in order that we must not repeat saying that please respond in such and such question, let alone if you responded in the question, if members are not satisfied. But I don't like that you don't attempt to respond in the question which were raised. I've seen really the question which were raised by Honorable Van Dijk, you didn't answer them all. Please, we don't have enough time. We have got a lot to do before 12. Thank you.
We do appreciate that, Chair, and apologies where some of the answers did not come out clear or were not responded to. It was really not it was just an oversight. In terms of consequence management and the issue of the forensic audit that is being done, I think I explained that, you know, the forensic audit team or service provider has just been appointed. So they'll be starting with their work now. And the administrators will be working with them in their report. And so that should just take maybe another 3 months for us to get to the finality of the forensic audit report. And we are hopeful that in 3 months, you know, honorable members, we should be able to have access to that report. In terms of corrective measures, you know, we didn't want to preempt, you know, things out of some stuff, and we wanted, you know, professionals to look at that rather than act on allegations. And that is when action will be taken in terms of, you know, issues that need corrective measures. But in terms of the audit report, council has just come in and we are busy engaging with the audit report in order to determine what the entity needs to do as part of corrective measures. Our role as council is much more oversight. And in terms of the Mandela House that honorable member asked, and then the old town, and my explanation was just to say, you know, in terms of legislation, you know, the NHC is much more an oversight function on and coordinating role, an advisory role to minister. I think Mr. Vusindima can just clarify those lines. And just to clarify who is responsible for those, I believe those are valid questions, and we're not putting them aside for any reason whatsoever. I was just explaining on our part what our part is in that. And I'll just respond to the
question. The next question, it was around the fundraising that we engaged on. Just to indicate that in terms of our published annual report, those details are on page 98, but I'll go through there. What has happened is that we entered into partnership for the Golden Shield Heritage Awards with the Provincial Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, where they've actually pledged an equal amount of 1.5, but the funds were never transferred to us, meaning that they did procurement from their end. Then the other one, it was through the Heritage Education Schools Outreach Program with Brand SA. They contributed 200,000, of which is the money that they spent from their side. Thank you.
And just to clarify also on the issue of the CEO, and look, the department can clarify further, but, you know, nothing is really being hidden about that. And I think the acting CEO has thanked him in the report, in the presentation, for the role that he has played. And previously in the entity, he was in the entity for about 15 years. And in terms of details around, you know, his resignation, I think the department will just explain further. But I thought that would also form part of the investigation that we've embarked on.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's Vusithemba Ndima again from the department. I think in terms of the way maybe I responded, it's maybe the honorable Van Dijk was not satisfied with the response, but I was trying to be as for the lack of a better word, as diplomatic as I can, because these matters are still going to go far in terms of forensic investigation, maybe ultimately to court. So this is a public platform, but maybe let me indicate that one of the reasons that stand out clearly from the CEO's letter is that the whole messages that were coming from the whistleblower were impugning his image, and that they were also distracting the NSC from implementing its work. So as a result, he thought it appropriate for him to resign. I think that I would stop there, Chairperson. I don't think that I would be able to say more than this. Maybe to then speak to other issues that have been raised. Whether NSC oversees SARA, maybe we need to go back to the legislation, the founding legislation. The founding legislation is very clear that the National Heritage Council has got a coordinating role. And the main reason behind that is to ensure that there's no fragmentation of the sector. And there was a reason why you have got all these institutions represented within the National Heritage Council. For instance, you have got SARA, the chairperson of SARA sits in the National Heritage Council, the chairperson of the National Library of South Africa, of the National Archives Council, of the Bureau of Heraldry of Dizong, which is was normally known as the Northern Flagship Institute, and Iziko, which was known as the Southern Flagship Institute. They sit in the NHC Council, and there were very clear reasons for that. It was coordination. So the role of coordinating the sector sits with the National Heritage Council. Now, in terms of the Nelson Mandela House, I must start by indicating the Nelson Mandela House, as we talk today, is not necessarily the property of government. So there are discussions that are happening between government and other interested parties about the future of Nelson Mandela, which I do not think that one is at any stage talking about those issues because of the discussions that are happening around that matter. I'm just trying to see which other question could be relevant. I think that as much as I cannot maybe just talk directly to the issue of the role of the administrator. Administrator came into existence to ensure that first and foremost, you didn't have a council. You needed to stabilize the institution. And while stabilizing the institution, you needed to ensure that there are these serious allegations that have been made against the CEO. And therefore, you need to start the process of the forensic investigation. While on the other hand, the department was starting the process of getting the new council appointed, which I'm glad that now the council is here and there is now that transition that takes all the responsibility to the council to then start the process of identifying their own executive manager who would then run the institutions going forward. I would like to stop there, Chairperson.
Thank you, DJ. Honorable members, Honorable Songo.
Was my question answered?
I think so. The one of the memorandum of understanding of the NYDA and
yes.
SAR.
Ask several questions, yes.
Yeah. Follow up, thank you.
There's something is going on, Honorable Mhlongo. Please try to be in the safe space and repeat your question. And
the Chairperson? Okay, thanks.
Yes.
My question was, since there's a relationship between the NHRC and the NYDA, what partnership do they have? Can I get the details? And what financial implication between the two, NYDA and NRC, and the memorandum of understanding, if they have, can they share that with us? Just in summary, and then we'll get the details later.
Thank you.
And Chair, I wanted the last one, sir. I thought of the last one. The difference between, remember, the both the department and the NHC,
there's this building initiative, the national building. What difference does it entail? How do the national building initiative implemented by the NHC and what the difference that is implemented by the department? I wanted to get the variation between the national building initiative that is implemented by the NHC and the one that is implemented by the department. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Siabe. try another place. Try to stand. Shift in that place. Shift. Try to shift in that place. Shift again.
A problem of network. I was being.
It is still there.
Hello.
Shift a little bit.
Hello.
Yes, Honorable Sierra.
Shift.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, Honorable Member.
Can you hear me?
Talk. Say something.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, Dr. Siabe. Let's just disappear. Whilst he's trying, can you answer the question of Honorable Mhlongo?
Honorable Chairperson.
Yes.
I'm not sure whether I understood the question, but I only just picked up there's something that has to do with the building. Now, I would really appreciate if maybe the question can be repeated. I couldn't pick it up. I even asked my colleagues to check if they did understand the question, and they were also in the similar situation like myself.
Honorable Mhlongo, with due respect, can you repeat your question?
The other question, I think they've understood them. I'm saying, how do the national building initiative that is implemented by the NHC differs with the implementation that is initiated by the department? The national building initiatives implemented by the NHC, what difference does it entail between the one that is implemented by the department and by the NHC? And other questions that I've asked, I thought I was clear. Remember you started saying there's a partnership between yourself and the NYDA. What financial implication and what is the relationship all about? Because you are just quiet on your presentation. And what do you have any memorandum of understanding between yourself and NYDA? Thank you, Chair.
All right. But
thank you. They're clear now. Yes.
Thanks, Chair. I think Honourable Member is referring to some of our programs that have to deal with the nation building initiative, which is a national initiative. And then I'll just ask one of the officials just to respond to that specifically.
Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to everyone in the meeting. At the NHC, we have a nation building initiative, which an example is the Ubuntu program, where as the NHC, we put out a call for nonprofit organizations within rural communities to apply for funding to the NHC, where they will use the money to uplift their communities. And the idea behind this being under nation building is because we believe that Mandela Day should not be just one day within the calendar, but we do it throughout the 12 months so that we can use the ideals of our late president to ensure that we infuse the principle of Ubuntu into uplifting our rural communities and ensuring that they get the necessary funding to do the projects in their communities. Thank you, Chair.
The MOU,
Maybe I, Chairperson, because there was also the issue of the department. If you could allow, Honorable Chair.
Okay.
Thank you very much. That the NSC, they've kind of indicated how they also come up with programs that contribute towards nation building. Of course, these kinds of different programs, they are aimed at one particular issue, which is nation building. In the department, we use various platforms to promote nation building in the country. National days, celebrations, the build-up programs to those national day celebrations, we have got programs that have to do with nation building. Even when we look at the memorialization of various people in our country, we ensure that we do that regardless of race, gender, creed, and ethnicity. I mean, if you look at the work that we have done through some of the institutions where we have built memorials, stalwarts or leaders like Pierce Nodier, all other from different sections of our population. So that's part of a big program of building the nation, because the idea is that South Africa at some stage should see no race, should see no gender, should see no ethnicity, but it must be a united South Africa. So there are a wide range of programs that we do. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Chair?
On the NYDA?
No. Just a moment, I'm still chairing. Can somebody respond in the MOU?
Yes.
Thanks, Chair and Honourable Members. With the NYDA, we had an MOU in 2019, which related to the commemoration of the 40th anniversary of the hanging of Solomon Kalushi Mahlangu, which also then started the process of the declaration of the house in Mamelodi as a National Heritage Site, whereby we also worked with SARA. There were no financial implications in terms of monies paid to the NYDA or the NYDA paying monies to the NHC. It was an intergovernmental collaboration between the entities involved, being the NHC, SARA, and the National Youth Development Agency, as the NYDA is running a program on Solomon Mahlangu in the scholarship and other activities that they do. The other question that had been asked about the omission of the name of the former CEO in the presentation, that was a typo. The name of the former CEO is acknowledged in the annual report, the actual annual report, and also he does appear on the presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Sierra.
Thank you, Chair. I hope you
can. Can you just speak and we'll tell you if we don't hear you?
Okay, thanks, Chair. Quickly, my question is, can the council give us a profile of their top management structure? Secondly, this year has been declared by government as the year of Charlotte Mateke. What is the role or input of council into that mandate? My last question is, the council has been under administration for 3 months or so. The acting CEO is also the head of administration, the leader of the administrators. Can she just tell us in two or three sentences what are the lessons learned as part of the, I know they are still going to give a report to council, what are the lessons learned and where can we improve? And what are the issues that may have contributed towards the audit opinion regressing? All along, like she reported, they've been getting unqualified. Now, this time they got qualified. What might have contributed to that regress? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Siebe, Honorable Nhlongo.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I understood well, they're saying there's an MOU, but it was only updated in 2018. But last year, no, 2019, they had an event in Swane, and NYDA was leading that event. I wanted to find out, is the, I don't know the person who was responding, are you honestly to us and with an open heart for you to account to us? We are saying there was no money given to NYDA to have a project that is run by NYDA with you guys. Can you maybe confirm that? And then the last follow-up question, Chair, regarding Solon Masang project, how much was used on the day? Lastly, Chair, I wanted to find out, it's a new question, this one. Can I get an understanding of indigenous poetry challenges which the NHC usually have? It's called Indigenous Poetry Challenges. Thank you, Chair. Can I just get a summary? What does it entail and how to participate and the criteria used? And on the national initiative, like building national initiative, what criteria do you do or do you have for NGOs or for any NPO to participate? Because you spoke of, you identify NGOs to participate for you to give them funding. And to date, per annum, how much do you set aside for those projects? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo. Back to you, presenters. Oh, just a moment. Mamukaula.
Ngibonge Shano. Ngixolise ukuthi ayi bengihlushwa i-network sengidante ngantanta. Nami sengizophose engiphathisiwe njengoba ngilo mnyangweni. Ningixolele mhlawumbe angikhona la sengiphuma khona. Kodwa ngithanda ukungena lana njema nikhuluma nge-project lethinta uSolomon Mahlangu. Bengifuna ukwazi la ukuthi sihlalo sami ngemvume yakho. Ngabe if sikhuluma ngabantu abanje sikhuluma ngaba kulo mnyango kukhulunywa kakhulu ngabama-politician na, ngabe sithini ngalaba ababelwela lelizwe njengobuholi bendabuko amakhosi akhothama ebulawa amangisi? Sike sibheke ni wona naye igalela alenza. Okwesibili, bese ngibuyela la kule nto ngoba lana kulo mnyango kukhulunywa nge-art and culture, ngikhuluma ngamasiko. Ngike ngajabula ngibona ncane uminister lapho. Lana lokhuza umhlonishwa wami omuhle Chair, sinenkinga e-KZN yamakhosi ohlanga nezinduna ey'semthethweni komondlo kozulu lento wombangeni inkosi yasemondlo nje umdlalose nenkosi yale kwaZulu ukhoza nomthetho, uthole ukuthi abaholi kodwa bamakhosi lawo asemthethweni ngenxa yokuthi lapha phezulu umuntu olida i-KZN ubhekelela kakhulu ezepolitiki. Okwesibili, sihlalo sami esihle lana e-Cape Town, sinenkinga masikhuluma ngo-art. Sinabantu bakithi abamnyama abakona lo mnyama banama-project. Kodwa la ma-project abawaranaka aphumeleli ngenxa yokuthi la kusalidwa kakhulu indaba yobandlululo kugcwela belungu. Angazi ningangilapha kanjani lapho or okunye manibona mhlawumbe ngiphume kakhulu loba kade ngekho sengiyocela. Kodwa nje nginesikhalo sithando sami KZN amaho amakhosi aphethe idifiyeti asemthethweni akaholi neyinduna zakhona. Nalena ke ukuthi kwinini lasho okhumbula khona abantu abanjengonkosi Dlamini abafa kudala noMese noGumede kuthi nabo ke bekhunjulwa phela ifika nje inkululeko sekuganyiswa laba kodwa asisakhulumi ngalaba ababelwa namanye amaqabana ethu kengawabala ayelela le nkululeko akukhumbuli nje sixoxa ngabo lana nabo ukuthi sibakhumbule. Ngiyabonga.
Sizwile mama, sizwile. I'm hoping that you do understand our languages. Acting DG, Minister, DM, this language you are used on it. There's no need of interpretation. Yeah. There are questions on the floor, Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Siabe, Nemibuzo, ka Honorable Umama Wetu, Umakaula.
Sorry, Chair.
Yebo, ma'am.
Ngicela ukuhlonipha nje sithando sami sisi. Yes, ngithi la ngisale sengijikijela nje. Ama-project ngiyabona akhona kuyaxoxwa ngawo. Emakhaya, ama-ground akhona. Abanakiwe even ezikoleni fanele ngabe siyabona nsi lo mnyango kusafunakala sibuyisele le nto eyayenziwa kuqala ukuthi iy'ngane yifundiswe ukubhekwa amakhono azo zikwazi ukudlala amabhola nazo yinikezwe emakhaya-ke nje lezinto aziyinhlobo khona into eyikhulunywa igcina emadolobheni but not iy'ngane zishawa ziyinyoka zisebenza emagrounds
emahlathini kuleyo basezawubuya bazopresenta into ezinjalo ngokweprogram inoba inge-2030 yale nyanga le ezabe ikhuluma ngama-ground bezise uhlahlobiwe mali labo babenze kanjani nakanjani but kwiveke eliphelile bebeke bakhuluma ngayo sikuthathe two sikuphendule mama.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Inkosi mama wam. Please may I give back to the leadership to respond both administration NHC department acting DG, minister, and our DM.
Thanks, sorry. There are matters which I think I need to respond to them, which have to do with the transformation of the heritage landscape in our country. Umama Okaula uqinisile and is correct, she's correct to insist on the honoring of people not only from political organizations but the people who preceded the political organizations. ADG responding today, one of the things he raised, and I will add the second one. Cabinet took a decision last year, and we are in the process of implementing that resolution, that we build the Resistance and Liberation Movement Museum. He elaborated on that. And it's very important to underline that point to say to Mam Kaula. It's resistance from the
resistance.
Okay. No,
Point here is that the reason why we're saying resistance is because we are looking at the period before the colonizers came to our shores. We are doing that, and we'll be honoring all those people. Already we are honoring people Lapo there in KwaZulu Natal. Mama has been asked to, together with the Premier of KwaZulu Natal, to come there and honor one of the warrior chief, Upambatha Kamanyunza. We are going to be honoring him in Greytown. Just as an example, we have concluded and corrected the wrong notion of our place called incorrectly Grahamstown. We've corrected that. It's Makanda, or if you like, it's Nyele now, you know. And those are not people who are in politics. I've already okayed the name of the airport in PE, named after that freedom fighter, Stearman. Those are people who preceded the political organizations. And we'll continue. Already we've engaged four provincial legislatures on this matter of the heritage landscape. We left with five, and we'll be able to deal with them. Kanani de mama Kaula, ngithi lento oyibuzayo ibaluleke kakhulu empeleni. Iyangijabulisa angisho ukuthi le minye imibuzo ayingijabulisi, ilungile nayo, kodwa ke le iya
you're buying EFF
iya kuvuthondaba
lento. We are still in a meeting, don't disrupt meeting, honorable member.
Iya kuvuthondaba engilishile ekuqaleni ukuthi uma sizoxoxa izinto ekuyizona ezibalekile empilweni, yizo lezi esizenzayo, and ngazo angibuzi. Ngiyasho mama ukuthi lapha e-Greytown silindele nje usuku esonquma ukuthi sizo halalisa sibeke phambili igama lomuntu ofana noBhambatha Kamanyunza, njengoba sikhuluma nje nawe. Kenza isibonelo sokuthi njengo cabinet sithathe isinqumo sokuthi abantu bamakhoyi namasana senze umgudu wabo esubiza iheritage route, naso isinqumo esithathwe icabinet leso ngesonto edlule, ngonyaka odlule. Sizoqhubeka-ke ngenze futhi esinye isibonelo sokuthi indawo eyayiqanjwe kabi silwile ukuthi iqanjwe kahle, kungathiwa iGrahamstown kushiwo umbulali weNgisi, kodwa iqanjwe kahle nje ngomunye weyingqalabuthu kuleya dolobha ukuthi kube Makhanda noma uNxele Mountain. So ngisho ukuthi-ke iyangijabulisa umbuzo wakho kakhulu. La kwezamakhosi ngiyayizwa futhi lento oyibuzayo. Kwezamakhosi sizoyithatha siyixoxe nozakwethu, ngoba lo mnyango esikuwona akuwona umnyango oqondene namakhosi. Oqondene namakhosi umnyango we-COCTA, we-Traditional Affairs. Kodwa-ke siyasebenzisana, sizokwazi ukuthi lo mbuzo loyo sikwazi ukuyisa kozakwethu. Thank you very much, Chair, for that. ADG and the NHC will be able to deal with some of the specific matters which have been raised.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Honorable Fandage, the Minister searching with the English version is now listening to himself speaking in Zulu, was translating on what he started with the English. I've seen that you have written that you need translation. He started with the English version and now it was the vernacular language. So translation, it's fine. It has been done. Thank you. Responses, Edna?
Thank you. Thank you. I think that Chairperson, the Minister covered the area of commemoration and memorialization. But I think Honorable Kaula also touched on the issue of sport in the rural areas. I just want to indicate to Honorable Kaula that through the district development model, we work with local, with the municipalities and districts. We identify areas that require sport infrastructure. We also provide sport equipment to schools and to football clubs in various communities as part of promoting active nation, and also as part of starting the process of ensuring that we have a winning nation. Because before you can be a winning nation, you have to be an active nation. Mhlampeke ngibuyele kwelasekhaya ngiphendula yena u-Honorable Kaula ukuthi ngalolu hlelo lukahulumeni lwe-district development model, umnyango usebenza kakhulu nama-district nomasipala ekwenzeni ukuthi kube khona isinqalasizinda zezomdlalo. Senza ama-e-stadium, senza ama-tennis court, senzela njalo ukuthi abantu abasendaweni ezisemakhaya nabo babe nayo indlela yokuthi babe naso lenqalasizinda ukuze bakwazi ukudlala, ukuze babe abantu abakwazi ukuyivocavoca. Ngoba sinakho ukuthemba ukuthi uma uqala lapho ukuthi ngelinye ilanga uyoba nabantu asebedlale eqophelweni eliphezulu. Ngeke abantu badlalele eqophelweni eliphezulu ungakaze ubanike indlela yokuba mabaqale emazingeni aphansi. Ngaphandle kwalokho, siphinde futhi sihambise into abangakwazi ukuyisebenzisa uma bedlala, mhlawumbe amajezi, ama-footballs, nazo zonke izinto ezidingakalayo ukuthi abantu badlale. Ngaleyo ndlela-ke siyazama ngakho konke okusemandleni ukuba sifinyelele kubantu. Sibene nje siphoxwe i-COVID-ke kulo nyaka, ngoba into bekungahambeki kalula. Kepha siyazi ukuthi uma usudlulile soqhubeka nama-programs ethu esasikade sivele siwaqalile. Thank you very much. Just the last part that I added is that, of course, with all the kinds of infrastructure development that has been happening and also supplying equipment, we were a bit disturbed during this type of COVID because we couldn't travel as freely as we normally do. But we are hopeful that once we have passed this stage, we will continue with our programs to help local communities. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, abangikhavile ngale la e-Cape Town ye-Cape la kuthola khona ukuthi kunobandlululo, abantu abamnyama abavunyelwe nabo babe yiphathi yayo.
Yebo mama.
Ya, ngiyacela.
Angithi imibuzo miningi, mhlawumbe khona bazawungena bayanikezelana, omunye aphendula aphendule.
Oh, okay, sweetheart. Okay, Chairperson. Yes. Thanks.
Nizwileke.
Mhlampe leyo Honorable Chair, ngoba mhlampe mina ngathi ngiyayiqabuka, mhlampe yinto esingayithatha njenge-homework ukuthi umuntu akakulandele. Mhlampe bese siyabona ukuthi siphendula kanjani, ngoba uma nje kuzoba nzima ngoba anginalo ulwazi olugcwele. Kodwa-ke cela ukuthi just because I mean it comes now and one was not aware of it, we might need just a bit of time to really find out and dig deep and find out about the matter that is being raised. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Bathi basezayibhekisisa ke mama, bayaqala ukuyizwa lento futhi bayithokozela, bazophinde babuye basiphendule. Siyabonga mama. Can you proceed to other questions?
Thank you so much. I'll hand over to the official.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will take the four questions which relate to the National Heritage Council. I will start with the question on the top management, the profiles of the top management of the National Heritage Council. And to start by saying, the first structure is the council, which is the oversight structure. And under the council, we have the council committees, and then we have the acting CEO. And then after her, we have the executive management. And the first position there is that of the executive core business, which is the portfolio that deals with the core mandate of the National Heritage Council. And the position is occupied by myself, Kagiso Mapalle. We have the chief financial officer, and the position is occupied by Mr. Uzolitini Matebula. And then we have the council secretary position, which reports to council, which is currently vacant, but Mr. Tembile Yako, who is the head of strategy planning and monitoring and evaluation, is acting in the position. I will then move to the question which was asked about the Indigenous Poetry Challenge. And to start off by saying, Chairperson, that this is the first time that the National Heritage Council is implementing this project. And it came about during the time when the department requested all entities to review their annual performance plans in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. And this was a project which was put to replace the annual exchange program which we normally implement with SOMAFCO, where we take youth from South Africa to go and participate in an exchange program in Tanzania. But now, considering the travel restrictions with the COVID-19 pandemic, we then entered into a partnership with SOMAFCO to ensure that we implement the program in terms of the annual performance plan. And then SOMAFCO collaborated with Black Motion, where they put an Indigenous Poetry Challenge on social media to invite the youth and public to submit their videos where they are reciting an Indigenous poem, and the public is then requested to vote on the Indigenous poem that resonated with them the most. These poems are recited in all the 11 official languages in South Africa. And it is currently running on our social media pages, as well as the Black Motion social media pages. And that is how these are then selected through public voting by the South African public. The next question was relating to the Ubuntu Nation Building Initiative. And the question was on the budget, which is allocated to this initiative. And it is 200,000 per annum. And then it is divided into 20,000 per province that is allocated to each province, which is then granted the 20,000. And the remaining 20,000 from the 200,000 is allocated towards traveling and subsistence of the team within the Living Heritage Unit. How these are then selected is that a public call is given out, is advertised on a national and regional newspapers, as well as on national and community radio stations, where we request non-profit organizations to submit a proposal to the National Heritage Council on a nation-building initiative which they are implementing in their community, and then to request us to fund them. There is an evaluation team that has been put together comprising of officials within the National Heritage Council who then evaluate these proposals which are received, and then they formulate a report which is submitted to the acting CEO's office for her approval. And once these are done, then the amount of 20,000 rand is allocated to each non-profit organization which has gone through the evaluation phase, and then they are then able to implement their nation building initiative in that particular province. I will not speak to the issue of traditional leaders as the Honorable Minister has spoken to it, but just to say that we do have a partnership that we have with the National House of Traditional Leaders as well as the Department of Traditional Affairs to ensure that where our mandates overlap, we are then able to ensure, especially in the preservation of living heritage and intangible cultural heritage and indigenous knowledge systems. The last question that I will be responding to, Chairperson, is on the issue of the unsung heroes and heroines, which we have within the Resistance Liberation Heritage Unit at the NHC, where we will be sending out and advertising a call to the public to nominate their unsung heroes and heroines within their communities, which they know, who contributed to the liberation struggle in South Africa. And we're doing this because we understand that there are some people within our communities, especially in rural communities, who played a significant contribution and role in the liberation struggle of South Africa who are not known to the public. So this is an initiative on our part to ensure that we invite the public to nominate their known heroes, heritage heroes and heroines who contributed to the struggle so that we can put together a document which will be publicized to the public to thank them for their contribution and that the public can know that in all the communities in South Africa, there was a role and contribution which was played by people who may not necessarily be known in the public sphere and they are not celebrities, but we would like to contribute towards them being known and their contribution being recognized. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. To respond to another question by one of the members with regard to the administration team's terms of reference. Members will remember that Minister indicated that on the day when Council was dissolved, the CEO also resigned and there was a vacuum which cannot be allowed in government. And to close that vacuum, and a team of administrators, three administrators led by myself, was appointed by the minister. And the terms of reference are to stabilize NHC, to assume responsibilities of council, because there was no council at that time, such as providing strategic direction to the entity, to assume responsibilities of the CEO, take over administrative functions of the entity, to ensure continuity and that the entity delivers on its mandate. Furthermore, to address the issues in the whistleblower's report and also initiate a forensic audit into the issues raised by the whistleblowers, COVID-19 expenditure and other matters which might emerge. And finally, to ensure a smooth transition and handover to the incoming council who were expected to assume duties in November 2020, but it's indicated they assumed duties on the 1st of December. So those were the terms of reference of the administration team. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. I think those are responses, unless if there are other emerging questions. There's one response. Sorry, we've got one response left. Sorry about that, Chair.
Oh, Chair and honorable members, we had a question regarding the year of Mayor Charlotte Matlake. As the NHC, we have already been involved in programs to mark the 150th celebration anniversary of Mayor Matlake through the project management office, where on behalf of the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, we are responsible for three liberation heritage projects in each province. In Gauteng, we are working with the provincial department for the reconstruction or redevelopment of the house that used to be occupied by Mayor Matlake as an interpretation center or small museum. So that project is already on course and should be unveiled in due course. The NHC has been working also with the Charlotte Matlake Institute to mark programs in the build-up to the 150th anniversary. One of these previously has been to mark the heritage trail as part of the build-up. The NHC is also busy with a documentary, which would be finalized later in the year as part of this celebration. So as the NHC, and we are supporting the department in the celebrations of Mayor Charlotte Matlake, the 150th anniversary, as promulgated by the government. In terms of, once again, the question around the NYDA and the partnership and how much was spent by the NHC and whether there were funds paid over to the NYDA. Indeed, we can confirm that as the NHC, we did not pay funds to the NYDA. We did collaborate in line with our mandate and the Resistance and Liberation Heritage Route on the program, which was to mark, in fact, it was led by the department to mark the 40th anniversary of Solomon Mahlangu's hanging. The NYDA had their own
program, and we were part of that, collaborating also with the department and other stakeholders like our sister NDT Sarah and the family through their representatives. So we did not spend or pay over funds. We can confirm that. In terms of what was spent on that day, as the NHC, we did not incur any additional expenditure as we were not procuring any services or goods for that particular event, except probably local traveling, but there was no significant expenditure set aside for that event on the side of the NHC. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. I think that finalizes our responses.
Honorable Chair, thank you, sir. Honorable Chair. Chair. Mphathi wahlelo wethu esimthandayo.
Yes, Mama Honorable Makaula.
Yeah, hlalo ngithi angibonge nje kakhulu. Ngibonge nalapha kuminister. Impendulo yakhe ngiyagculiseka. Although nginenkinga la yokuthi uqinisile mayithi le nto yobuholi bendabuko, especially amakhosi uCoctor, sengambhalela mina bese ngikhulumela kuyena njengoba ekula kule nto yamaculture, ngoba abanye abantu zothola ukuthi le nto yamasiko abayazi isithandwa sami. Ngambhalela incwadi impendulo ayikho, bengifuna ukucela nje ukuthi njengoba sisuka naye-ke KZN akayilungise le nto. Okwesibili, engizokusho nje la uminista oba nangu ngiyambona namhlanje, kade vele angimfisa ngimhalele, yile yokuthi asibone phela minister mthetho ngiwasebukhosi ungazenzi nje angathi wena uminista nje wena uyinzalo yobukhosi. Asibone eza abantu abamnyama ey'koleni kufundiswa iy'ngane ngabaholi ababekhona kusukela koshaka. Uyayizwa loo nto? Nothi le nto njengathi thina sifundiswa ngo-Jan van Riebeeck. Asiboneke nje okulapha nilungise umlando, niphinde nilungise nayo yonke leya nto eyalungiswa amabhunu ngoba ayenenkolelo yokubulala isithunzi somuntu omnyama njengobona kusivalelwa izifo manje boma-corona yonke into. Yingoba thina siyisizwe silahle i-history yazo namasiko azo. Ngiyabonga kulo mhlonisho kade ekhuluma manje ngama-heroes ethu. La sinenkosi yethu Shaka. Asifuni ukungezwa kulutho, baningi amakhosi la e-South Africa ayelwa before ukuthi izwe likhululeke. Emthandeni, noma e-KZN sinomessage owabulawa amabhunu. Angazi waselaphi namandla kazikhulunywa indaba yabo ukuthi laba kungcwatshwa khona bangcwatshwaphi amathambo babuye bazoqaqa. Sinenkosi yasempendle uDlamini. Kanjani baningi amakhosi esinabo. Bengicela mina Mr. wami nomngezi ukwenza manje. Mina kuze ngikhululeke kule portfolio committee ukuthi ngizohlalela amaculture namasiko nabantu bakithi. Thina abantu abamnyama sisele emuva. Even ey'koleni, akubuyisweni imidlalo ebikhona. Thina ey'koleni besicula, ey'koleni besidlala amasoccer, besidlala ama-basketball. Ayibuye yonke leza zinto esikhule ezikhona. Ngoba ekugcineni izwe likanjena nje, yingoba manje nikhohliwe okungemuva. Nazothatha la okuzayo. Lana nje abantu enikhuluma ngabo. Nikhuluma ngalabantu abaseduze and nokubheka ukuthi lo yabona laba bafa kudala labe ngibabala bomeseni bonganye laba babelwela lelizwe nala wonke lamakhosi akubuhlungu la eMaritzburg sengibuya khona mina ngabona okwakufika kwaboshwa khona kwanqunywa inkosi yakasempendle abantu labe sifuna usibona ubalwela sithandwa sami. Angile, thank you very much Chairperson. Thank you
Honorable Makhawula. Okunye ongakwenza le zinto okukhuluma ngazo ungazidlulisa lapha emnyangweni wehhovisi lethu lekomiti sinabo omabhalane ukwenzela uba ezinye zezinto zikhawuleze ziyofika lapha kuminista zibhalwe futhi mhlasimbe nam ndibhalele ukwenzela ukuthi ezinye zithi zifika lana zifike sebekwazi ukukuphendula okanye sebekuphendule sowufika la sowujabula sowuthi sowuphenduliwe kodwa ke umvile umhlonishwa ukuthi konke ndikokukhulumayo kusemqoka yikona abathathileyo bengumkhandlu uba bazawukwenza siyabonga mam. Honorable members, there are some questions that were raised by Honorable Siabe. Do you think that we have responded? Are you happy? I do write down questions.
Okay. Yeah, I think the other issue is related to the regression in terms of our audit outcome. In terms of the presentation itself, it's on slide 34, where we have actually outlined the challenges of the 2019-2020 audit. One of it, of course, it was something that we have actually confirmed through National Treasury in terms of our Audit and Risk Committee, seeking counsel from National Treasury in terms of the standing of Audit and Risk Committee. And their response was one of saying that if the board was actually lawfully dissolved, then it would mean that the ARC is also dissolved. So that was one of the main challenges. Then secondly, what has happened is that normally we'll actually get a report from a service provider for your assets, that's your property, plant and equipment, in terms of they will do an assessment in terms of our assets and give us the value. So due to COVID, we could not actually get that particular report. And instead, what we did as management, we have done our own estimates, of which we submitted to the AG, but AG was still not happy with management estimates. Thank you.
Okay, just one response, Chair.
Okay. Honorable members.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes.
The last question from the side of MC. There was one honorable member who asked on what are, lessons learned in the intervention of the administration team.
Yeah.
And it's one of the lessons is when you have, as government, when you have a new team that comes into an institution like administration team, it's a new environment which the institution has not been part of, and adjusting to that intervention takes some time. That's the first thing. Second thing is with intervention, you've got to make observations, and after making observations of the environment that exists and even taking the institution out of, assisting to take it out of that environment, has to be reported to the initiator of, or to where the mandate comes from, like in this case, from the minister. But we have indicated that also will report. We have started already reporting to council because council is the one that's responsible for, the institution at the moment. And also that as you do intervention, you'll also have to do the investigation, and that may create some, discomfort, but anyway, people get used to it, and then things go on as normal. So those are some of the lessons that we have learned, and which means as government takes such interventions, finally, there must be a report that is submitted for other institutions of government to learn from that intervention. Thanks, Chen.
Okay. And thanks, Chair and Minister, and especially for the decisive, steps that Minister has taken once the council was dissolved, and put in this administration, and for his support. We've met with the Minister as new council and did some introductions, and he was very clear in terms of his mandate and in terms of his expectation to put the NHC back into order. And so we are quite appreciative of that, and thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you. Who's that?
I'm so much, Chair.
Yes, Honorable.
Last question. Chair, I wanted to find out issues raised by the Auditor General. Do they implement all the recommendation, and out of, I think it's 7, if not 8 recommendation, how far are they with implementation of the recommendation? And one thing that I've observed, there are gaps. In other words, a recommendation which were recommended in 2019-18, they're still outstanding even to date. Now, these are the repeats, so to say. Now, how far are they, and what mechanism do they have? Because one of the issues the Auditor General has raised is lack of leadership. Thank you, Chair.
I'm suspecting Honorable Mhlongo is adding on the consequence of management. Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo.
Chairperson Dennis Joseph.
Yes, Honorable Dennis.
Now, thank you, Chairperson. My last point, I must say I disagree with the official's comment that because the board was dissolved, the Audit and Risk Committee was also dissolved. I mean, it is, the board should be independent of every institution or structure that exists in the institution, unless the Audit and Risk Committee was also implicated in terms of the whatever whistleblowers or investigation have shown. But nevertheless, that's the principal point I'm making. There must be a separation of function and powers. But to close it, I think what solves it now is that the audit function is coming back into the entity in-house. That contract has ended, so I'm pleased to hear that. So I think I just wanted to make that point, but it closes that debate as well. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable members, these are last two questions. I must report that our minister is going to have the meeting I've seen that he left, if he left. Sometimes these gadgets say you left whilst you are still here. He indicated that was going before 12, half past 11, must attend a ministerial committee meeting. I'm suspecting, Honorable Members, these are two last questions, except that I can say
that... Please, otherwise I'm closer case then.
Okay, Mama, the one other thing that I want to emphasize, because after your responses, I wanted that you must know that I didn't want to prolong your responses. It's this thing of infrastructure, to me, it's very important. When you responded about grounds in rural areas, one other day, I will engage with you, because as I'm sitting here, there are so many things that I can raise with you, the structure, the stadium, tennis court, the love life, everything, but today is not the day of that. I've heard you acting DG, but this is not for today. What I want to emphasize very strongly, can you respond in the two questions raised by Honorable Msongo and Honorable Dennis.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Probably to start with the last question in terms of the dissolution of your ARC. Even from our side, we were a bit concerned about it. Then what we have done was to actually go to National Treasury to seek advice in terms of the standing of the ARC. Then we were actually advised by National Treasury to say that they have actually received a legal opinion on the matter. Then their response was to say that if the board was lawfully dissolved, then it will mean that even the ARC, it had to be dissolved. Then moving now to the second question, the one around the recommendations or implementation of recommendations from the AG. In terms of your 2018-19, we have actually fully implemented the recommendations from the AG. In terms of the management letter of your 2019-2020, there are no repeat findings. They are all new findings. Then in terms of the progress that we have made thus far, is that most of the raised findings from the AG were more of adjusting, of which we have actually adjusted. So what is remaining and of which is one of the main issue that we need to resolve is of course around the 2 million and the 1.6 that we have actually disclosed as irregular expenditure. So on that one, we just are waiting feedback from the National Treasury. Then as soon as we get the feedback from the National Treasury, of course, there will be issues of your consequence management, which of course will have to be in line with the irregular framework that is in place. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable members, I don't think that we need any other answers. We had a very fruitful discussions. We were armed, we were educated about NHC. Now we'll know what is going on. We're hoping for the best to the new people in the office. Let me take this opportunity to thank the team that presented and answered the questions, also the honorable members to do the oversight. That's our role. Thank you so much. Please don't forget your mask. Wash your hands. Keep your distance. Don't go to parties. Don't party. If we are going to funerals, go to your very closest family. We've lost so much families. Sometimes our parents, they don't listen. They will tell you, I cannot go to bury my neighbor. Let's try to talk to them so that they can stay at home. Thank you so much. We were left with the matters of the committee. Go well, my department, our department. We don't feel much happy if our DM can't say, hi, I'm here. I don't know whether he's, and I does feel if he didn't greet the committee. DM, close this meeting.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. I really didn't want to say anything much today. The team has engaged with issues very adequately, and the minister has responded on behalf of the executive. But just to appreciate the members of the portfolio committee on how they engage with issues and vigorously without any fear or favor. And to say to the members of the portfolio committee, we, at any time that you call on us, we will come and account. And we note those areas that you have raised that we need to strengthen and improve on. And we are at your service at any time. Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you. Go well. Honorable members, FDG.
Yeah, thank you, FDG,
yes, with your team, NHC, thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair, so much.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
You can leave us in order that you must prepare to listen in the debate of today. We are trying to finish some issues. We are going through the minutes very quickly, honorable members. Our good staff put up in the screen the minutes that we must adopt.
Yeah, I'm not. Right.
You still have problem like last week.
Zoleka will be sharing her screen share. I think I've got problems on my side. So since Zoleka is going to be sharing.
Okay. Honorable members, in front of us, minutes of minutes of proceedings of the meeting of the committee 26 January. The agenda, members who were present, honorable members, I'm presenting your minutes and I want you to adopt your true reflection of your deliberation and the correction of your minutes. Anyone want to adopt the minutes?
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Honourable Mazoman.
I move for the adoption of the minutes as presented. Thank you.
Honourable Maloman, I move for adoption of the minutes. Any seconder?
Chairperson?
Yes, Honourable.
Chairperson?
Honourable Adams?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes. I second the proposal of the adoption. I second the proposal.
Of adoption. The minutes are adopt.
Yeah. I can't see my name here. I've been looking my name. I can't see it.
Damage to the healthcare sector, which
correction. Yes, the minutes are adopted with the correction of including the name of the Honourable Kaula. Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you, Ma'am. Thank you, Honourable Kaula. Please put the next set of minutes. Okay, minutes of the 6th November 2020 with SASCOC. Okay. Chair South Africa. Oh, okay. Not that night to understand. Okay. Move with us. These are old minutes. We've been rereading them. I was worried because I was thinking that we won't make it. We were reminded about these minutes that they are old. Must adopt.
Can we go back to 4.2?
Okay, go back. 0.2.
4.2. I just want to check something.
Yes. Okay.
Bullet number 2. The second bullet, the matter went to court, not went to court.
Where?
Second paragraph, he indicated that they asked SASCOC.
Who intervened
that before the matter went.
Oh, wait, not wet.
Thank you.
Thank you. I put in front of you the minutes that you must adopt them. Any intake? Honorable members, don't take your time. We don't have to. Honorable
Chairperson, my end is up.
Yes, Honourable Members.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes.
I move for adoption with the corrections. I move for adoption with corrections. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Any seconder? I'm calling for a second. Why are you like this, Honourable Members? You can't second your minutes. You don't want to second this minute.
Mina having a second, the Chairperson, my king,
I'm going to go. Yes, I'm going to go.
Chairperson?
Yes, Baba.
Can I come to ask you a second minute? A minute.
Who's speaking? It's Honorable. Yes.
Madam Chair, I think it's Honorable.
CBC.
Okay.
Yeah, CBC. Yes, thank you, Honorable CBC. I endorse that the minutes have been adopted with the correction. Can you put in on your screen another set of minutes?
Chairperson?
Yes.
Chairperson, I just saw that the previous minutes that we adopted on the 26th of January, that by the AG responses, bullet four, the word four is written FR. So there's also, we didn't pick up that mistake. I just want to bring it to the attention of the, I'm not sure if we must correct that, but just to let you know.
Okay.
No tax chair will correct it.
Thank you, so thank you, Honorable Fundig. How many sets we left with?
We are left with three chapters.
The 2nd February 2021. Yes, go on. Oh, very short one. I'm tabling these minutes to you, Honorable Members. Anyone to adopt?
Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Kepomsongo Jomane. Any seconder?
Chairperson, also second.
Oh, thank you, Honorable Van Veek. Minutes are adopted. Thank you. It was quick.
Hello?
Yes.
It's Honorable Van Veek, not Van Veek.
Hey, God. Sometimes I do that mistake. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I'm very sorry.
Not a problem, Chief.
27 October. There's somebody who's talking. What are you saying, Honorable Sia? Today your network. Vala babusibisi. Valin I Honorable members. Somebody. Okay. I've seen the hand of Honorable Veronica van Dijk, he wanted to correct me when I'm not saying Honorable van Dijk. I've apologized about that.
No, Chair, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, good. Thank you so much. Oh, these minutes. Thank you. Little bit older. We're supposed to adopt them long ago. Honorable members, these are your minutes. Can someone move for adoption? Hey, Ustime. They move for adoption.
I move for adoption, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Siebe. Same. At long last, it allows you. Any seconder?
I move, I second, Chair.
Thank you, VIP. VP Malomane. Minutes adopted. Rebecca?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Oh, how many sets are you left with?
This is the second last one, Chairperson.
Yes. Third in order. Veronica, third November. I wondered that you must be updated. Sondi Kulata Nani Mshlongo moved for the adoption. Mr. Deputy Minister Maskok. Thank you, Zolega. Any mover? Any mover for adoption? Mover for adoption? Are you still there, Honorable Members?
Yeah, move. I'm not sure.
I'm here, Chair Dennis Joseph, but I can't move on the old minutes. I wasn't in that meeting. So please, I call on the other members, colleagues, to support the Chairperson.
Chairperson? Honorable Adams, move for adoption.
Yes, Honorable Adams.
And move for adoption.
Yes. Seconda. I want somebody to second.
Yeah, second.
Were you present on that day, Mama?
Oh, Ilama Dala.
Can you check Zoe?
Yes, it's the old ones, Madam Chair.
I can't support that one.
Honorable Maloman.
Member Mungling Dawson present there. EFF. That meeting of
the I want somebody to second the minutes.
Chair, I'd love to second, but I was upset.
Yes. Who else is in the chat?
Member Shabi.
Chair, we're still here.
Oh, Honorable Mhlongo.
Yeah, but Chair, you know why I don't second? Usually we ask for annexures after the minutes, like your matters are rising, and it's not happening. And I think we are, I lack of using a word, but ngathi ashlonishwa, so to say, because the annexure is so important for us. These are old minutes, and for us to follow up issues outstanding, as I've said it even our last meeting. I'm concerned, so I don't support every meeting, every minute.
But you did support other minutes with that annexure, Honorable.
We supported the one that we did our schedule for information. If you can check, it's our schedule.
We resolved that thing that I even reported to the section manager, Mr. Party. You know, I'm taking a committee very serious. I've reported this. So until then, give me a chance that they must respond, because you know that they were saying that's the way that they were taught how to do minutes, and I've reported Honorable Mhlong to Mr. Party. You can confirm with him. I don't take light the things which are raised by committee. I raise with Mr. Party.
Chairperson. Nginenkinga la. How come ukuthi umuntu athi uzosupporta bethi kodwa ay absent ngalelo langa?
Hayi, akasho njalo ma.
Okay.
Eh.
Kalo before Mhlongo.
Okay.
Yenzani bafethu sifuna ukuseka.
You're even allowed to second because you're part of the meeting.
Okay, I support these minutes. Sometimes I wanted that the members must support. I do support the minutes. Please, the last one. So. But Honorable Mhlong, you did hear that I have reported what you raised. Ms. Shop Stewart. The minutes, you can't repeat 3rd November. Another one.
13 November, Chairperson.
Yeah, and now it's correct. Thank you, Honorable Dennis. Thank you, administrator. I call for the members to move for adoption of the minutes, Honorable Van Dijk.
I'll move for adoption, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Van Dijk. Honorable Adams.
I second to the adoption, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable members. Zolega, we don't have any other minutes, ne?
Yes, Madam Chair, that was the last set.
Let me take this opportunity to thank members. You know, members, we had a long day, but your patience, you know why you are here. You take your work very serious. I do appreciate. I do understand to those who, like myself, sometimes have no network. Where I'm staying, there's a big tree that sometimes is just blocking network. But thank you very much, committee members, leaders of parliament. Let's go and try to have our lunch the meeting is closed. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, staff and colleagues. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, colleagues. Thank you, Chair.
Bye.
Thank you, Chair.
Malibongwe.